join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And I would have to say, Dad, that the biggest buzzword in the media and in the news, whatever aspect of culture you want to imagine, is gender.
it's a hot button.
It is a hot button. It's a hot button, and honestly, you don't have to say anything else when you say it. I mean, right. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where everybody kind of has their preconceived ideas. They kind of know what they're thinking on it or what the issue is at hand that kind of comes about. So, and you think about such things as gender selection, gender identity. The idea of gender is now being contrived by our culture instead of having a natural and normal definition of it.
Right.
Just on a very natural, normal level.
Right.
When you look at it for faith value, the moral revolution, as our friend Dr. Mueller from the briefing calls it, has changed everything as we know it.
Very quickly.
So what we're wanting to do for the next few weeks here is really deal with this issue of gender from a biblical perspective.
We'll give them some biblical food for thought.
Right. What we want people to do is to walk away beginning to develop their idea, but the biblical idea of what gender means.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of it? What's the point? And it's important that the church, in anything for that matter, goes behind the culture understanding and biblically defines what gender is in its role. So not, obviously anything, but specifically in gender, we have to biblically define it.
Right.
We
need
what does the Bible say? What is the Bible leading us in our thinking on this?
What is the biblical thinking behind what we do?
Right. And I think one of the biggest dangers that we are seeing is that, even if it's ever so slightly, is that Christians are beginning to allow the world and the culture to define how they think about it. And it's creeping in. Maybe it's not creeping in. Maybe it's a lot creeping in.
I believe, based on what I'm hearing around me, is that this may be the issue that causes the church to have to say no more.
Right.
And could be a source of, at least a beginning source of persecution for the church.
Oh, I think so.
I think this may be the one where we... Dr. Mueller referred to him again, but he wrote the book, We Cannot Be Silent.
Right.
This is an issue upon which we're not going to be able to be silent and say, okay, whatever, you can do that, and I'm not going to bother you about it. We're going to have to stand on this one.
Right. Well, it's just the same for the abortion issue.
Right.
Back in Roe v. versus Wade, excuse me. And I think we didn't have to say anything about it, but then once it became law, then we had to define it. And I think that's kind of where we're at, that same crossroads, if you will. Maybe even more so.
We've been pressed
issue.
Into action.
Absolutely.
Pressed into conviction, actually.
So we want to talk about something that's probably going to set off some alarms or maybe some in people's heads and hearts and minds. And that is the idea of what we would call gender hierarchy. Obviously, as our pastor said yesterday in the message, and obviously we're recording this right now, it won't release till Wednesday, but he said it yesterday and Sunday, he said, this gives people heartburn in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you do when you have heartburn? You get rid of it.
Right.
Take care of it.
Absolutely. So we want to talk about this issue of gender hierarchy and kind of three things that'll be underneath this that'll guide us in our conversation is one, the demonstration, where this has come from, where do we see this on a biblical level, then our duty. Now what do we do? What's motivating us and how we live our life? And then at the very end, the delight. Where does true happiness come in being satisfied in the gender that God has created you to be?
And we'll talk more about that in some of our other podcasts.
Yeah, we're just kind of barely touching the surface here. So.
Yeah.
So in this issue of gender hierarchy, we're just going to start off there.
Well, the demonstration of gender hierarchy is seen in the Godhead itself. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, talking about some things, uses the triune Godhead, the Godhead as a way of reflecting and intermingling his thoughts on the Godhead with his thoughts on gender roles. And there are a lot of things in chapter 11 that could get our attention. We're not going to go to those things in this. But for our purposes, what we're seeing is the dovetailing of the Godhead as he's talking about gender roles. And so he says in verse 3 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So
pretty much lays it out clearly there.
Yes, sort of a dovetailing of the Godhead and the hierarchy of men and women, especially in the home, but in the social sense. And so we can say that there's a reflection of this gender hierarchy in the Godhead.
Right.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And by hierarchy, we do want to be clear that people understand what we're saying, the idea of ordained order.
Yeah.
How things are to operate.
Some people mistake hierarchy for monarchy.
Right.
And hierarchy simply means an order of things that is ordained and necessary. And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So the Godhead is really defining this whole issue of gender. I think something you brought out that's very, really lays this out very clearly, because when we think, the big word is equality, and it can kind of sound biblical, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hey, we're all equal, right?
Yeah.
We're equal before
true.
God.
Yeah.
But what you defined it as we were talking about beforehand, or what you said, is that in the Godhead, each person is co-equal, but each does not have the same role.
That's exactly
and
right.
And I think that's the key right there.
Yeah, we'll come back to this again, but there in Philippians, when it says that Christ emptied himself, he laid aside his rights, and he emptied himself. What one of my professors, he was quoting someone else, but he said, this is a clear demonstration of the subordination of equals.
Hmm.
So now we need to hold on to that as Christians.
Yeah.
We see it in the Godhead. We're going to see it in gender roles.
So the present culture calls gender a social construct, okay?
What?
And it is a social construct, but it's a social construct that's designed by God. It's not simply a man-made social construct.
It's a biblical social construct.
Right.
It's not necessarily a bad term if we understand. It's just kind of like the term equality. Not a bad term. We are equal. That's not the only issue. And when it comes to gender roles being a social construct, they're not just a social construct. Social life in mankind, throughout history of mankind, has more often than not reflected something of the biblical construct, of the biblical order. There's a reason for that, because God has woven it into life itself.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from it.
Yeah,
and when we do, we have to almost be illogical about it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's almost, sometimes there's a duh factor there when I mean, you
but
say,
not
well,
anymore.
Not now. But I mean, there is when you say, well, how do we know a man's a man?
Duh.
And how do we know a woman's a woman?
Right.
You know, so there's some of that there for us as Christians, but we need to see the biblical thinking and construct behind it.
And I want our listeners to know that why we think this is important as believers is because we cannot afford to be affected one little bit by this.
No.
Because it will destroy our ability to bring glory to our God, to reflect His image, which we're going to deal with a little bit more here in just a second. But I want our listeners to get that.
Right.
This is about you functioning as a believer in a culture that's so contrary to what
we think. In a biblically ordained way.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we have the demonstration, now the duty. We don't like duty.
The duty of gender
hierarchy.
Just
put it out there, you know.
And people don't, a lot of Christians don't like that word duty. They make it sound, makes it sound
it's negative.
Like we're
it comes
working
across
for our favor with God.
Right.
But there is a duty to what we do. And when God created humans,
right,
something interesting said, and the wording is interesting there. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, etc., and all of that. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Interesting wording. He created them. He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth, overflowing. So this ordained in the creation order is this gender hierarchy, this gender difference, which we're going to talk about another time.
Right.
But it's not just a matter of it. It was foundational to human social interaction.
So what you're saying is going back to the previous, the demonstration, what the Godhead has demonstrated, he is requiring of us. That's what's going on here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that has the everything male, female, family flows from that Genesis passage. And so when Jesus talks about marriage, he talks about how God established marriage and he made male and female different, and he talks about that reflecting back on the creation order in Matthew 19. So our system of thinking, our flow of thought has to be thoroughly biblical. You know, we can sound really harsh because we don't understand. We don't like certain people.
It's very unfeeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no emotion. I mean, it's very stoic, if you will.
If somebody feels like they ought to be a different gender than they are, who are we to say?
Right.
Well, in one sense, we are no one to say. But God has already said.
So we're just saying what God has said, yeah.
If we don't have that, we have nothing but chaos.
And I would say it's important for believers to understand that our duty is bound by the created order.
Right.
What else would it be bound by? You know?
But obviously it's not bound by anything in the culture. And that's our concern. We have to have that.
So it's
bedrock.
Either or for the believer. Can't have one or the other.
That's right. Yeah. And we've used this.
Or I'm saying both.
We've used this phrase before. We have to be tethered to the truth. And our anchor is the rock of God's word. We're tethered to that. If not, we're going to be cast around with every wind of teaching and idea and every emotional idea that comes along. We cannot worry that the world thinks we're crazy or that they think we're unreasonable.
Because they do.
Yes. We cannot worry about that. We can be loving. We can be kind. We can be prayerful. We can have a meek and quiet spirit. There's nothing wrong, but we must stand on what the Word says.
Well, and that's why Jesus told his disciples when they were, and this is more paraphrasing, but when they reject you, they're really rejecting me.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you're doing. So by us following the created order, and then they're rejecting us, they're really rejecting what God has done.
That's right.
And what he has established.
You just happen to be the whipping post.
Yeah. And the Bible, we're just looking at the created order. We're just looking at Genesis. But the Bible, as you move along, just for our listeners, gives us ample reason of the why.
Right.
It gives us ample reason, lays out why this needs to take place.
What you see is that creative order now lived out among the people of God.
For better or for worse.
And assumed.
I mean, some of the New Old Testament examples would say are negative.
Mm-hmm.
They're not condoned by God in any
When it's violated, there are consequences.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have the demonstration of gender hierarchy, we have the duty of gender hierarchy, but now we have the delight. Let's not leave this out. Delight is important.
Yeah. I like the phrase that our brother John Piper uses. He talks about the dangerous duty of delight, and he mingles the concept of duty and joy, duty and delight, the delightful expression of our duty, because delight and joy come not from rebelling against the order God has ordained, but by embracing it and living our lives in it.
No, wait a minute. The culture tells us the total opposite.
Exactly. Because they don't.
You cannot be free and you cannot be happy unless you are doing what you feel to be the right thing to
right,
do.
Right, exactly. There's the conflict. There's the rub, too. The conflict comes because we're not willing to submit ourselves to the will of God. As the little boy said in the story I think I gave one time on here before, I do what I want to do. And when that's the case, when we do just what we want to do, then we fail to enjoy the delight of God himself, the delight of his design, but the delight of just knowing him and living life the way he ordained it to be lived.
It's interesting how the culture still feels like sometimes they need to keep God in the whole picture. I don't know why. I'm just kind of, why don't you just be like the atheist?
A God of their own making.
Right,
least, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. And going back to something you said, people think God is to be used so they can make up their own rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're going to keep God in the picture, well, we've got to create him of our own making.
Well, in a related sort of thing, years ago when women in ministry was a big hot-button issue in Southern Baptist life, the feminist in the Southern Baptist Convention would say, well, you can't refuse me the opportunity to fulfill my calling. You can't refuse me the opportunity to do what I
Where
feel is
right.
Where does
that calling come from?
Exactly. And see, it's all based on my feeling, my calling, not on what God has said. And so our delight comes as the people of God. We need to remember this for us, the people of God. We don't expect unconverted people to find delight in the will of God.
Or to understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. So we demonstrate to them, as the Father had, and the Godhead has demonstrated to us, the ordained order and the hierarchy, we demonstrate to the world the joy we have in knowing and following our God and doing His will.
So delight for the believer is not found in our own self-expression. It's not about us.
It's not.
But found in a knowledge of God and a submission to His divine order.
Right.
One cannot reject God's divine order and find satisfaction.
No, not genuine satisfaction. That word satisfaction is important because it's the satisfaction of God Himself that the psalmist talked about. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fountain. When he thinks upon God, when he submits to God, when he knows God, that's where his satisfaction is. And that's where we find our satisfaction.
I think we as believers need to realize that the world's not going to understand, so we need to just accept it, embrace it, be okay with it, okay? So once we lay that there, we've got that there, and then I like what Dave said in the message yesterday at church. He was talking about this issue of womanhood, in particular, it was Mother's Day. He said, well, we rob ourselves of the ability to magnify God and who He is in our aspect of His divine order when we don't fulfill it.
Exactly.
Man is the image and glory of God. Our hope as Christian is to reflect the glory as much as possible. So when we're not fulfilling our specified gender, that gender hierarchy,
right,
we're robbing our ability to show people and others around us to see who God really is.
Right.
In that Godhead that we're talking
about. Which
is about.
Why we're here.
Right.
Yeah. To demonstrate the reality and the dignity, the majesty, and the glory of God.
Right. Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. In fact, we went over a little bit. We do apologize to our listeners, but this is important stuff and something we definitely want to continue on here in the next few weeks as we talk about the issue of gender. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.